In a world darkened by the fall, we all need light for our daily path. Psalm 119 tells us where to find that light. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word, the Bible, gives us light, and that's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is what we need each and every day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. It's great that you've joined us again this afternoon as we search the Scriptures together, having our path illuminated by God's Word. Here's your host this afternoon, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Good day and welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've joined me here on this Thursday afternoon as we mine the riches of God's Word, as we dig into God's Word together. This week on Gospel Talk, we've been considering the parable of the sower, as it's found in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. And we're dealing yesterday and today with the explanation of the parable of the sower, as found in verses 13 to 20 of Mark 4. Let me read that to you one more time. "And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Well, yesterday, as we were considering the explanation of this parable, we saw that the seed sown on the path is those who hear the word, and we know that they do hear it, but the word does not catch. It doesn't, the roots, there are no roots sent down, nothing happens. These people are the path. They are the wayside, the hard, unfruitful soil. Nothing happens when the gospel is spread among them and they hear it. And, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, this parable is not meant to be a diagnostic tool for us to apply to others. This is meant to be a diagnostic tool for us to apply to ourselves. So the lesson is, make sure that you're not this barren, hard, unfruitful path. And then there are the rocky places. Those are those who hear the word and right away they become very enthusiastic. These are those who run on emotions, whose Christianity is all about how they feel, getting a bit of a buzz when they go to worship, whatever. But good feelings can only get you so far. A faith based on how you feel, a faith based on a buzz, will not persevere. You'll have no root, and so you'll only be around on a temporary basis. The Lord Jesus says that when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, then these quickly fall away. And here again, diagnostic tool, not for others, but for yourself. Think about that for yourself. Would you still be a Christian if you were threatened with persecution? If you knew that when you come to church on Sunday to worship the Lord, that there would be secret police in the parking lot taking down your license plate numbers, that your family, your life, your property would be threatened because of your faith, would you still be a Christian? I think that's where the parable of the sower challenges us on this particular point. And then the Lord Jesus explains about the seed sown among the thorns. These people too, they hear the word. They grow for a time, but then they get choked. What are the things that choke them? What is Christ warning us about here? Well, first of all, he speaks about the worries of this life. And if you want to know what that means, what Jesus means by that, go to the last verses of Matthew 6. He says there, not to worry about your life, what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Instead, trust your Father to provide you with all those things. The worries of this life are just average, everyday things. Anxiety about those things can choke out the seed and make it unfruitful. And next, he speaks about the deceitfulness of wealth. We need to pay careful attention to that phrase, especially as people who live in very affluent cultures. You know, even though there's an economic downturn, even though there's talk of a recession, you know, still, we have very affluent lifestyles here in North America. So we need to carefully consider the deceitfulness of wealth. How is wealth deceitful? What are the lies that wealth often tells us? That's another way of phrasing the question. Well, wealth lies to us and tells us that we're self-sufficient, that we have it made for ourselves. Wealth lies and tells us that we're pretty decent. It tells us that we have good reason to be proud of ourselves. Wealth also deceives us by telling us that if we only have a little bit more, then we'll be truly happy. Well, friends, contentedness is not found in addition, but in subtraction. Contentedness is not found in addition, but in subtraction. Contentedness doesn't come from getting more things, but from taking away from our evil desires for more things. Wealth deceives us into thinking the other way around. Wealth tells us that we will be happy if we are rich and we can have everything at our disposal. Yet 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 tells us that those who want to be rich may very well pierce themselves with many sorrows. Wealth lies to us and tells us that we will be safe and we will be secure with riches. But the Bible teaches us that wealth is like honey. Yes, it's sweet to the taste, but it also attracts bees and wasps. In the same way, the sweetness of prosperity invites the devil and temptation into our lives. In this and so many other ways, the deceitfulness of wealth can choke out the seed and make it unfruitful. Beware of the lies of prosperity. And connected with that, we could also say, beware of the lies of the prosperity gospel, which tells you that God wants you to be rich. Nonsense. The Lord Jesus warns us against the deceitfulness of wealth, the deceitfulness of prosperity. These things tell us lies. What would God have to do with that? Finally, there is the catch-all thing that will choke out the seed here in Mark 4. Desires for other things. Well, in that category, we can mention all sorts of temptations. Rather than give a list, we can see this along the same lines as the 10th commandment against coveting, wanting and longing for all sorts of things instead of the one thing that truly matters, instead of the one person who truly matters. Christ, Jesus Christ himself, and the gospel, the good news that he preached. That can be summarized with the question, what is the one driving passion of your life? What or who do you desire above everything else? And if the answer is something else besides God, his glory, his gospel in Christ, the desires for other things are choking the seed in your life. Someone once said, what we hunger for most, we worship. What we hunger for most, we worship. That's true. Beware of desires for other things that could choke out the word in your life. And then there's the seed sown on good soil. Like all the others, those two, they hear the word and they accept it. The word finds deep, rich soil in their hearts and it produces a crop. It produces fruit. Now, some produce more than others. That's true. But they all produce. And we don't know why some produce more than others, and Jesus doesn't say. But what's most important, the point of the parable, is that they are good soil. They have heard the word rightly. They have heard it in the way intended by God. And so the message of this parable is simply that. Be the good soil. And you may think that if you've been one kind of soil in the past or present, that you cannot become the good soil. Well, if you're thinking that way, friends, you're wrong. That would be stretching the parable to say something that it simply doesn't say. Now think of it this way. Your soil type, if you could put it that way, is not like your blood type. You know, your blood type can never be changed. If you're O positive, you are always going to be O positive, and there's nothing you can do to change that. But your soil type is not like your blood type. Christ himself teaches his disciples to be the good soil, to hear in humility what he has to say, and to follow him. And likewise, he calls all of us, including you, dear listeners, to be the good soil that hears the word, accepts it in faith, and then goes forth and bears fruit. What does that good soil look like? What does a good hearer of the word look like? Well, drawing from the parable, we can say that a good hearer always welcomes the word immediately, so that Satan cannot snatch it away. Even if we've heard it before hundreds or thousands of times, the good news, when we hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's always music to our ears, delightful music. The good hearer always welcomes it deeply, so that when persecution comes, faith does not wither and die. The good hearer welcomes it exclusively, so that nothing else can compare to the all-surpassing worth of knowing Christ and his gospel. So we got those three things about a good hearer. He welcomes the word immediately. He welcomes the word deeply. He welcomes the word exclusively. Friends, those are the ways to be the good soil that bears fruit to the glory of God. You know, this parable is about hearing the word and hearing the word rightly. And that also has something to say to us about our church attendance and making sure that we are regularly attending church, that we are hearing that word, that we are being in the place where the seed can be sown upon us. And it also tells us to make sure that we are in a church where the seed is actually being sown. I'd like to encourage you to make sure that you are in a gospel-centered, Bible-preaching church. You know, if you're in a church where the Bible is not even being opened during the worship service, friends, please reconsider where you're going to church. You need to be in a church where the Bible is opened, not only where the Bible is opened and just mined for good advice, but a church where Jesus Christ is being preached as the Savior of sinners. And we began by noting on Monday that cliche about familiarity breeding contempt. And I said then on Monday that the parable itself demands the opposite response. And it does. Rather than hearing the word with contempt, sneering at it, we're called to warmly welcome it each time we hear it. Christ calls us, each and every one, young and old, to be the good soil, to be good hearers of his word. So let's not have this parable stand in judgment over us. Thank you for listening today to Gospel Talk. I do hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll have Pastor Chris Gordon with me on the program as we consider important truths of the Christian faith. I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow at 2:45 here on KARI. Till then, may God bless you richly.
We're glad you joined us today on Gospel Talk with our host, Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. This program comes to you today through the generous support of the Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church in Langley. The Willoughby Heights Canadian Reformed Church worships each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., and we always welcome visitors. You can find us in Langley at 7949 202 A Street. Again, that's 7949 202 A Street, just off 200th in Langley. If you'd like more information, or if you have any questions, you can also write to us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Or email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope that our time together has been a blessing for you. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breitenhoff. And be sure to join Pastor Chris Gordon tomorrow morning for Abounding Grace. He'll be sharing more wonderful gospel truths at 8:30 tomorrow morning, right here on KARI AM 550. That's Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church.